All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords. And for the segment, we're joined by Adam in the studio. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena.
Happy Tuesday to
happy,
you.
Happy Tuesday.
It feels a little bit cooler outside.
It's cold now, but then still during the day, it's really hot. So yeah,
it's a little confusing. So perfect. If you're on your way out, do layer up. It's perfect for what, golfing?
No, well, not really, but perfect for a cold is what I was going to say. This huge temperature differences between the day and night and mornings is recipe for a cold, which
all
is
right.
Not very good.
So everyone be careful. That was a very thoughtful reminder.
Yeah, so have an extra layer handy. We are nearing that season.
Speaking of weather, that's exactly where we're going to start our segment this morning. This is our first pick of the day.
Typhoon Omias.
So Typhoon Omias has hit the Korean Peninsula, bringing heavy rains and strong winds. No casualties reported so far, but there was significant downpour with landslides being reported and flooded streets.
That's right. The typhoon reached Jeju Island yesterday evening, and it was packing a maximum wind speed of 25.3 meters per second. So very breezy. Heavy rain has also drenched the southern regions as well. That's the area where this typhoon is hitting hardest. The downpours are expected to continue until this afternoon, in fact. A typhoon warning was issued for the entire island of Jeju and nearby coastal areas as well. Major cities and provinces, including Busan as well as Gyeonggi province as well, issued landslide warnings. So it has been moving north easterly as well, this typhoon. The heavy showers have led to roads being flooded. We can see a lot of cars being inundated in water and being drenched. Scores of accidents have actually been reported in Busan as well, where up to 88 millimeters of rain per hour is falling. As you said, no casualties have been reported so far, thankfully. South Chulla province is also evacuating 12,000 residents to sturdier places in advance. It's also cordoning off some public areas, such as underground parking lots that are susceptible to flash flooding. It's been a while since we've been having any reports of a typhoon this year.
That's right. I think it's the first reported one in 2021 for South Korea.
Yeah.
So be aware and know that it does seem like the rainy conditions will continue in parts of the country today.
Exactly. And it will affect a bit of the capital area as well. So yeah, take
All
note.
Right. Here's our second keyword of the day.
Fourth wave continues.
So turning to the pandemic situation at home, the end of the fourth wave is nowhere in sight. In fact, this is despite the toughest set of social distancing restrictions for majority of the country, simply proving to be not enough. What's the latest?
Well, Korea's COVID tally for Monday did actually drop to the 1400s, but that's only a slight drop due to fewer tests. So usually this whole trend that we've been seeing over the past month or so, where in the early time of the in early week the numbers are slightly lower, and then it picks up from midweek. Yes, but the country has been recording four-digit infections for 50 days now, so we're still well into the four digits. Today's tally could also be in the 1400s as well. Now, as you said, despite 6 weeks of the toughest restrictions in the Greater Seoul area, as well as a few other non-capital areas, the fourth wave is certainly showing no signs of abating at the moment. Those measures, which have been tweaked slightly, actually, have been extended for two more weeks starting yesterday. I don't know if you've been through the details on the show before, but yes, 9 p.m. curfew, but allowing four people, but two of them have to be vaccinated.
Right.
That's the summary of it.
We like the reminders.
Yeah. health officials are on alert as the effects of the summer holiday season are still being seen as well and expected to continue as these people going on holiday and coming back home. There's concerns that because of the returning people, the people in that returning area are going to maybe have some cluster infections as well.
So perhaps it's kind of a wrong frame of mind to ask when will the fourth wave end? Maybe we need to rephrase that question. However, that's what the general public and I think small and medium-sized business owners have been asking for weeks now.
Exactly. We are certainly still in the midst of it, unfortunately. As for when the fourth wave will end, the KDCA chief, Chung Eun-kyung, she told Parliament that we may have to wait until next month. She added that after that Korea will see a gradual slowdown in cases. And she also stressed that 70% of the population should get at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccines by the Chuseok holiday in mid to end September in order to see the fourth wave end. So it's not just an expectation. Mm. We have to be vigilant. Vaccinations do have to take place in order for that kind of timeline that Chung Eun-kyung mentioned to be achieved.
So true to the KDCA chief's character, it's a gentle reminder for those eligible to make reservations.
Yeah.
On to, we're going to continue on to our third keyword of the day.
Booster shots.
That was hidden. I do apologize. And now, speaking of vaccines, Israel has been giving booster shots to its elderly population. A recent study there shows that the campaign has proven to be actually quite effective. So tell us more about this booster shot campaign then.
Yeah, so findings published by Israel's health ministry shows a booster shot of Pfizer has significantly improved immunity and offered protection from serious illness among people aged 60 and above. That's the age group that was eligible for these third shots. Now, it showed that protection against infection 10 days after a third dose was four times higher than after two doses for that age group. It also showed that five to six times greater protection after 10 days with regard to serious illness and hospitalization.
Mm.
Now, Israel started administering these booster shots to those over 60s in July. It has now revised the age of eligibility for a booster to 40 and also includes pregnant women, teachers, and healthcare workers. There's been a lot more recommendations for pregnant women to get vaccinated because more studies are coming out regarding that.
And how safe it is.
Right, exactly. And Israel is also vaccinating students on campus to avoid school closures. It was also announced that the school year would open on time next week in spite of surging coronavirus cases.
Mm.
Now, despite the mass vaccination drive, Israel is actually going through another wave of infections at the moment. And experts say the country flouting mask requirements may have been a main contributor to the rapid spread of the Delta variant. So, yes, Israel has been accelerating the vaccination drive, but that's takes a while for those vaccines to kick in and the antibodies
the booster
to
shots,
yes,
right.
And the timing of the easing of the social distancing and the vaccination drive, I think the easing was a bit more premature. That's according to a lot of the experts, anyway. Yeah.
So it's a delicate balance. It turns out when you lower the mask or how long these mask mandates need to actually be in place. Should it be after we inoculate the gross majority, as in maybe even above that 70% threshold we promised everyone would be herd immunity.
That's right. That's a lot of health experts in Korea are also saying that it's all well and good accelerating the vaccination drive and the campaign, but obviously that takes time. And if we are in the middle of a huge wave of infections at the moment, then the social distancing and the vigilance is key for the moment. So we have to wait for that. We have to be a bit more patient is what the experts are saying.
I'm now going to invest in more colorful masks just to uplift my spirits. I did wonder for the longest time what the point of that was.
Do you know what? It has become a bit of a fashion item during the pandemic, hasn't it?
And that was a little... what's the PC way to say it? Not of the importance, right?
Right.
But at the same time, if it's a prolonged pandemic with mask mandates in place for the foreseeable future, maybe we need options after all.
Right, yeah.
All right, on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Hospitals under surveillance.
A controversial bill mandating surveillance cameras in hospital operating rooms has been passed by a parliamentary committee. So what does this actually mean? Immediate CCTVs or is there a grace period?
Controversial indeed. The National Assembly's Health and Welfare Committee did approve the revision to the Medical Service Act despite strong opposition from medical groups. Now, if the bill passes Parliament's plenary session, which it is actually likely to happen, hospitals will be required to install CCTVs in operating rooms and film surgeries upon a patient's request without audio. There have been growing calls for protecting patients against medical negligence or malpractice, such as ghost operations conducted by unqualified doctors behind the scenes.
Because so far, according to many several publicized cases, it's hard to go against doctors and the health officials when you don't have any sort of footage of what happened on the operating table, right?
Yeah, so there have been also concerns of sexual crimes committed on patients under anesthesia as well. So the whole question about these CCTVs came about after certain cases of these. But the medical circle has been strongly opposed to the bill, as I said, claiming it creates distrust between doctors and patients, eventually debasing the quality of medical service.
Will it make certain medical professionals more passive in their decision making?
Right. And the legislation has been under intense discussion for months now, and rival parties have actually narrowed some of their differences. Some of the adjustments include the central and local governments paying for the installation of CCTV cameras and other related expenses, not the hospitals. And if a patient or a patient's guardian requests a surgery to be filmed, surgeons cannot refuse to do so unless there is a justifiable reason, such as an emergency operation. So this whole process of switching on the cameras and all that stuff, if it's
probably not a priority.
If such a delay is detrimental to the health of the patient, then obviously the doctor is going to refuse that it be filmed, because obviously the person's life is in danger. And there's a certain a few other kind of justifiable reasons that are included in this bill. But,
so despite the controversy, it is highly likely the bill will be passed.
Right. Yeah, there is an agreement across both sides of the aisle at the moment, so it just needs to go through the plenary session. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
All right, on to our fifth keyword of the day.
Leaving Afghanistan.
To turn to the crisis in Afghanistan, the U.S. has evacuated approximately 37,000 people out of the country. What's the latest out of Afghanistan?
Right, those 37,000, the White House says, were evacuated since August 14th. Just over 10,000 of them were airlifted out over the weekend, just this past weekend. So it's showing kind of an acceleration of the efforts the U.S. is holding to try and evacuate more people out of the country. Now, following the Taliban's swift takeover of Kabul last week, the U.S. has been scrambling to evacuate Americans as well as its Afghan partners from the country. Since the end of July, the U.S. has relocated approximately 42,000 people. The State Department believes there are still several thousand Americans believed to be awaiting evacuation, so the job isn't done yet. Many of the people evacuated have been relocated to safe haven locations across the Middle East as well as Europe as well. President Joe Biden has previously said that he may consider extending the departure date past August 31st, but has yet to do so. But the Taliban says it will not accept such an extension, warning of consequences if it is prolonged. It didn't really go into detail of what those consequences are. But
they did reiterate that August 31st is sort of a red line, and there would be no negotiations made in that front.
Exactly, which is just about a week now left.
All right, guys. We're going to leave it there for now and move on to our last keyword of the day.
Talks on North Korea.
So the top nuclear envoys of South Korea and the U.S. have met to discuss North Korea issues. For example, what about humanitarian aid? What else did they discuss?
Right. Seoul's Norgyudok and Washington's Sung Kim did discuss the possible humanitarian aid. The areas that are included include health care, quarantine against infectious diseases, although North Korea still claims of not having any COVID-19 infections. As well as drinking water and hygiene. Now, Kim also said the joint ROK-US military drills are routine and defensive in nature, stressing that Washington does not have hostile intent toward the North. As we've been reporting before, Pyongyang has lashed out at the Allies for the exercises. Kim also reaffirmed his willingness to talk with North Korea without preconditions, saying he's ready to meet with Pyongyang officials anytime, anywhere. The U.S. envoy also underscored America's security commitment to Seoul. Now, there have been concerns over America's commitment to South Korea, especially after Washington's troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, but the U.S. has been reiterating that it's a different case with South Korea and other allies as well. The U.S. Department, State Department also said that Kim's visit to Seoul underscores Washington's commitment to South Korea and the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Thank you very much, Adam, for today's coverage. Have a safe, dry day.
You too.
And I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.